Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up on the show, Jeff Parles of ESPN Las Vegas will join us. We will react to the day that was in the NFL, a tremendous Sunday night football game. Sets up a very interesting week 18. So looking forward to talking with Jeff. And we will start with the Sunday night game because, boy, that was a lot of fun. I thought Shanahan was going to cost him the game by punting in the middle of the fourth quarter. Nobody could stop anyone. Just keep teams trading touchdowns, almost like a video game. And I know I came on here and complained Thursday. The games were good. Nobody could score. Nobody could move the ball. And you'd much rather have a game with bad defense than bad offense, because the bad defense is at least, you know, everyone's scoring. It's more fun to watch, but there is a happy medium where, you know, this game was a lot of bad defense, but both offenses were basically unstoppable for most of the game. Outside of, you know, a punt here or there, the pick six on the first play of the game, just a wild, wild game. I thought Shanahan, that was going to cost him the game, and he could be a little conservative. You know, these spots, and that was fourth and seven, and you know what? If you punt and you down him at the 10 or the 15, what difference does it make? You're getting carved defensively, although they did hold him to a field goal that drive, and you're carving them, so you're probably going to get the 7 yards, and the Bears probably, you know, were happy and thankful you punted, but you could say, you know what, that yardage was the difference between getting in the end zone and not. And the Bears kicking a field goal is what was the ultimate difference in the game, because they got a field goal. 49ers answered with a touchdown. And for the second year in a row, Sam Darnold will be on the road with a chance to either win the division and win the one seed, or drop all the way down in the wild card. And he could drop all the way down to sixth. If Seattle loses to San Francisco, they could be behind the Rams. The Rams could be the five. You'd have two. It's possible you have two 13-win teams with the five, the five and the six seed. Two 13-win wildcard teams. Just a weird year in the NFL, and that sums up just how weird it is. And Seattle's favored by a point and a half in San Francisco. I think if San Francisco wins this game from a betting perspective, I think you have to give Shanahan the coach of the year. I know Vrabel's done a tremendous job as well, and right now Shanahan is plus 200. Vrabel minus 130. Boy, it'd be hard for Shanahan to win this game, win the one seed, and not get the award. That'd be really, really tough with all of the injuries they've had, all the injuries on defense. Purdy has been hurt. He got something out of Mac Jones, who hasn't looked good in, you know, 4 or 5 years. I would think this would be Shanahan's award, and he is plus 200 at DraftKings. That, to me, is worth a bet, considering they're only 1.5-point underdogs. But Tremendous game. A ton of pressure now on Darnold once again. It's hard to watch what he did last year under pressure, and I know he had the good win against the Rams a few weeks ago, but it's hard to watch him, what he did at Detroit with a chance to get the one seed last year, in the playoffs against the Rams, earlier in a big game against the Rams on the road. Those three games all on the road, or at least away from home. The playoff game last year was actually more of a neutral site in Arizona because of the fires, which is right around a year ago now in LA. They moved that game to Arizona, but still, same scenario. Darnold away from home, it's hard to trust. 49ers at 1.5 for a great teaser leg. I'd imagine they don't want too much 49er teaser money, and they move that. I think that moves more to a pick 'em. But fun game. 49ers win. They survive. It's hard to take either of those teams completely seriously in terms of holding up the trophy, although the 49ers, and they get a home game in week 18. If they win that, they get a bye, and then they're home throughout the playoffs, including the Super Bowl, because the Super Bowl, as they reminded you tonight, is in San Francisco. So all you got to do if you're San Francisco, you win four home games, they hand you the trophy. Easier said than done. It is hard to imagine that. That being said, it is hard to imagine that defense who, you know, Rivers and the Colts move the ball up and down the field. The Bears move the ball up and down the field. Hard to imagine that defense being good enough. Usually you need at least, you know, some of the Mahomes teams had average defense at best, but even, you know, the Brady teams are always top 10 defense. Usually it's a top 10 defense that wins it all. It's very hard to be really bad, below average on one side of the ball, especially defense, and win the whole thing. And San Francisco is just not a good defense. And Chicago, you can say the same for them. They're not good defensively, but it's one of those years, I keep talking about it. Somebody's got to win this thing, and it is so wide open on both sides, which, you know, brings me, before we get to Jeff here, on the rest of the day. And I thought it was a fun day. I know the 4 o'clock window was lacking, but you had Bills Eagles, which was a good ending. I had no problem with Buffalo going for two. I mean, first off, you're not winning the division. You play another 10 minutes. That's an extra 10 minutes. Allen was limping around. It's an extra 10 minutes. Allen can get hurt. You just had a kick blocked. You've got one of the best 2-point conversion players, probably the best 2-point conversion player in the league, in Allen, where you have a quarterback who can run, who can throw, he can run, he can get in with his speed, he can get in with his power. he's a big favorite to get the two-point, a small favorite to get the two-point conversion, I would say. And you don't want to play the extra 10 minutes. So, I mean, I know the Fox guys after Gronk and some of the guys were saying, no, I would have kicked it, played for overtime. You just got one block. The extra point's not automatic anymore. I thought that was clearly the right decision to go for it. I didn't think for a second they'd kick the extra point. You know, win the game or lose the game right there, just get off the field. You're not going to win the division. New England would have needed to lose to Quinn Ewers in New England next week. That wasn't going to happen most likely. Obviously, you'd like to give yourself a chance, but had no problem going for the two. Even if you needed to win the game, I think going for two. Even if the game was important, I think going for two there was the right decision just because Allen is such a weapon in those situations. And the point after just got blocked. The weather's shaky, so had no problem with that. But that game was fun. And even though it wasn't a great day, you had something in each window. That ending after an ugly game, the Eagles find a way to just make these games painful to watch, but you look up at the scoreboard at the end of the game and they got more points than you do somehow. It's incredible the skill they have to do that. And then the early window, and this is probably the big story of the day, the weekend, the Ravens are off the map because they went into this weekend needing to win in Green Bay. At one point this week, they're 4.5-point underdogs. Love gets ruled out for Green Bay. It's battle of backup quarterbacks. They're still a 2.5-3-point underdog, mostly 2.5 when the game starts. And if they lose, that's it. Pittsburgh is in as the champion, but they didn't. Baltimore wins the game. They win it pretty comfortably. And that puts a lot of pressure on Pittsburgh against Cleveland on Sunday. And Cleveland comes out right down the field. First drive, made a long field goal. They get a stop. They get a touchdown. And it was just Pittsburgh playing catch up from there. Pittsburgh had a chance at the end to tie it. And I think they would have actually kicked the extra point. I know Romo was saying, oh, if they get a touchdown here, they'll go for two. A tie doesn't help Pittsburgh. Or a tie helps Pittsburgh. A tie wouldn't have helped Buffalo in the division scenario, which you have to weigh in, which is another reason why you go for two if you're Buffalo. Because not that going to overtime guarantees a tie, far from it. But when a tie is good for you, you don't mind going to overtime and saying, you know what, as long as we don't lose here, the tie in our back pocket, a tie is effectively as good as a win. That's another reason to go to overtime, which made sense for Pittsburgh because for them, if they tie that game, they win the division. Baltimore can't catch them at what, 9? Let's see. It would have put them in a position where Baltimore couldn't catch them. Baltimore at 9-8, the worst Pittsburgh would have been 9-7-1, and Pittsburgh is the division champion. So Pittsburgh couldn't get in, and now it sets up a division championship game. I'm not surprised they put this in the final game of the season. They love these games that are winning in, losing out. It's an early playoff game. It's a rivalry game. You put Rodgers in primetime. You maybe, I would think, have Lamar back. I mean, I don't know how badly he's hurt, but Huntley certainly acquitted himself well the Saturday night game against Green Bay, and I thought, you know what, I thought if it was going to be Willis versus Huntley, I thought it was going to be really low scoring, and either way, it's just I felt like this was kind of Baltimore was on their last legs here and it wasn't their season. I did think Cleveland was going to play well against Pittsburgh, whether they needed the game or not. I thought Metcalf's absence was a big issue, and I just don't trust Pittsburgh, who's struggled in that building. I think once since 2017, Pittsburgh has won in that building. 1-6-1, something like that, since 2017. So it sets up a day here in Week 18. The Saturday games are really fun. They put Carolina in Tampa, which is probably for the division. There's a little caveat where if Atlanta beats the Rams on Monday night and then wins again next week, Carolina wins the division. But let's just say that doesn't happen. Carolina-Tampa's for the division. That's Saturday afternoon, 4:30. Saturday, 8 Eastern, is San Francisco-Seattle for the division, for the one seed. And then Sunday afternoon is really not much except for, you know, jockeying here and there. And then Sunday night, three, and there's even some 3.5s popping up, Baltimore and Pittsburgh, total 42.5. I'd imagine that total comes down. I know the last game they played went over, and they played one last year that went over as well. That's usually like a 20-13, 23-16 type of game. I know the rules are a little different now. It's easier to get in field goal range, things like that. And Baltimore just played a game with a zillion points scored, but I could see that being a typical AFC North game, close, low scoring. I think Baltimore wins. I mean, I know I've probably counted both teams out multiple times. It's been a weird division, and if you listened earlier in the year, you got, you know, good numbers on both teams. Pittsburgh to win the division at +250, Baltimore +375 to miss, and then there were times to get off that and just kind of lock in a profit. I think Baltimore wins the game Sunday. I can't lay 3.5 points. I can't lay any points there. I wouldn't be shocked anything that happens. Pittsburgh, I do worry. No, Metcalf is big because some of the guys he's thrown to, you know, Thielen, who's been released a million times, Scotty Miller. It's a bunch of journeymen. It's a bunch of, you know, fifth starters, to use a baseball analogy. They do not have a lot of offensive weapons, to say the least. And you could always get a situation where weather's an issue, and this far out, it's kind of hard to tell. I would lean towards the under. I think Baltimore wins, but I'm not interested laying 3.5. And I actually think Carolina getting the 3 against Tampa is a good bet, just at these look-aheads, because, boy, Tampa just does nothing. How do you lose the game to Quinn Ewers? I know it's on the road. I know all of these different things. Miami's still playing hard. Tampa's been awful. Tampa's not just been a mediocre team. Tampa's been an awful team here for a long time. I have no faith in Tampa whatsoever. So Carolina plus 3, I think that's a total toss-up game. I think that line will close closer to like 1.5 or 2. I think getting the full 3 there is not the correct line. I mean, what do you get for Tampa home field? A point and a half? I mean, that's not a good home field. I know it's a big game, so maybe that home field gets bumped a little bit, and you say Tampa slightly better than Carolina. Okay, I'll take the 3 there. So the 2 I like so far, Carolina plus the 3, under 42.5, Baltimore, Pittsburgh. And before we get to Jeff, a couple things quickly. Glenn might have gotten himself fired, the Jets coach today. That's an awful performance. It's, you know, 21-0 before the national anthem is over. You could say, hey, first year, give them another shot. They're building all this. All of that's true. We've seen this with plenty of coaches. Joe Judge with the Giants, it's been a million examples where these owners will say, oh, we'll give you another year. You know, he's not on the hot seat. He's coming back. You get to a point where your team is so embarrassing, they have no choice but to fire you, but to move on. That might be the scenario with Aaron Glenn. They might have no choice but to fire him and move on. I mean, it's been that bad. They haven't even been close to competitive. It's just been a complete and utter embarrassment. So Glenn might have gotten himself fired. That's one. I mentioned Shanahan, rookie coach of the year. The other one, in terms of the awards, I think Dart had a good game on Sunday, and it looks like the Giants will have the second pick. The Raiders will have the first pick in the battle, in the draft battle there, the draft bowl. Dart probably needed another game or two to get Rookie of the Year. He's 10-1 right now. He's actually 12-1 at one book, Rookie of the Year. McMillan, the Panthers wide receiver, minus 105 favorite. Tyler Shuck, who's played really well, and he was 250-1 middle of the season. He is plus 120. Henderson plus 750, Ibuka 10-1. Shop around. These guys are all about in that range. I think Dart probably needed one more. I don't think Dart's live. I guess if he had a good game and finished the season strong with a pretty good game on Sunday here against the Cowboys and won another game and, you know, put up 2 or 3 touchdowns and the other guys didn't do much, is it possible New York quarterback, is it possibly steals the award? Maybe, but probably not. Probably needed one more game. It's probably down to McMillan or Shuck or whoever does the most. You know, this week, I guess Ibuka, if he had a big game against Carolina, a big standalone game where he caught a couple touchdowns, I guess that could propel him. It's kind of a low bar. McMillan's been really good, but it's a low bar in terms of this award and what you need to do to win it, that I just can't rule any of these guys out. But the market's probably right. It's probably Shuck or McMillan. I don't see a great bet there, but Shuck with another good performance. Tennessee had the lead, in a pretty sizable lead for most of that game, but the Saints just came roaring back, won the game. Not only won the game, but covered the teasers, ended up winning the game by 8, where they were down by 10, I think, multiple times, and ended up winning by 8. That's one where at some points the Saints were 2.5-point favorites, so if you had the Titans teased 8.5, you're fine, but it closed, I think, 1.5 most spots. They teased that to 7.5. 8 is more than 7.5. Those teasers were no good, so boy, every half point matters. Even when you think it's not going to matter, it'll never land on Saints by 8. Who cares? Teasing to 7.5, teasing to 8.5. What's the difference? Well, you saw the difference as the Saints cover all those numbers. So fun day. Fun day. I think anyone, unless you are a Steelers or Ravens fan, or unless you had bets regarding that game, I think most people kind of rooting for the Browns to pull the upset just because adds a little more drama to week 18. If that game didn't mean anything, If that Steelers-Ravens game next week didn't mean anything, they'd probably put the 49ers-Seahawks Sunday night for the one seed. That would be the final game of the year. They'd find something else for Saturday. I'm not sure what they do, but they could use all the good games because, like I said, they could use all the good games they could get because the game's next Sunday afternoon. That's about as crappy a slate as you're going to see. Texans-Colts, Packers, Vikings, Giants, Cowboys, Titans, Jags, Browns, Bengals, Saints, Falcons. I mean, all these teams are either out of it or locked into the playoffs. There's just a lot decided. So the Sunday afternoon card really takes a hit. You're going to really be looking for games to watch if you're sitting there Sunday, you know, watching football. There's not a lot that really interests you. The Saturday games are really fun. Playing for a division, playing for a one seed for both games is a division. The later games are one seed. And the Sunday night game's really good, but not much else in between. So a lot to discuss. A great Sunday night game. Playoff scenarios. We'll discuss it all with Jeff Parles. That is next. This Should Have Been More podcast. All right, we are back. Should Have Been More. You catch him ESPN Las Vegas. He's a regular on this podcast, and it is Jeff Parles. Jeff, thanks for coming on. I feel like a few times in the last week, I know after Seahawks-Rams, I said that was the game of the year. I don't know that this top Seahawks-Rams, but maybe you disagree. How's it going, and have you caught your breath yet as we unwind here from 49ers-Bears?
What a survival for 49ers minus three, Will. What a survival. In all honesty. Don't know if deserved to get there, but hey, got to the window. But, you know, I'll just say this. I did think it was better to Rams-Seahawks because Rams-Seahawks felt like just a confluence of idiocy led to that game getting to overtime because, like, you know, the gaffe on special teams with the punt return, and then you had the two-point conversion in the rule loophole and also, like you had a lot of weird things. This was just, to me, I know a lot of people were lining like, oh, this was just terrible defense. All right, there's something to be said that these offenses were just absolutely incredible in this game. Like, Brock Purdy, and look, I was one of those idiots who said, is there really a difference between Mac Jones and Brock Purdy in the middle of the year? I was one of those idiots. I will fully admit I was completely wrong because since Purdy has come back, other than that awful game against Carolina, Purdy has been awesome. He has been so good. And even legitimately, even his first throw of the night tonight being a pick six, he was unbelievable. And look, the Bears, I don't think either of those teams are good enough to win the Super Bowl because I just don't think those defenses, and I understand the Niners will only have to, if they win next week against Seattle, will only have to win three home games to win the Super Bowl. But that defense is awful. And the Bears just are not, the defense is just not good enough. But hey, those two teams being in playoffs and playing deep into the playoffs is going to mean we're going to get some fun playoff games, my friend.
Yeah, and the 49ers, as it is right now, four home games away from holding up the trophy. I mean, they get this one at home, they get a possible Super Bowl at home, and if they win, you know, they win this week coming up in Week 18, they get them all at home. And Darnold, how about Darnold for the second year in a row, is in a game where he's playing for the division, he's playing for the one seed, and he's on the road. Weird confluence of events.
Will, I'll just say this because I haven't seen a number yet because I know that some of these books. And please tell me if you've seen a number yet on that Saturday night game with Seattle and San Francisco. I know have. San Francisco's defense is an abomination right now just because of all those injuries, but you really want to take Darnold on the road in a have-to-have-it game? I love Sam. I've always loved Sam. I still think he was the correct guy when the Jets took him. The Jets are just the Jets. But I have no faith in Darnold going on the road and beating San Francisco to get the one seed this go around. Just no way.
What do you think the line is? What do you think it should be?
What do I think it should be? I think it should be pick 'em because of the Niners defense. And that's not really a big home field. I think it should be a pick. I think Seattle's going to be favored though, Will.
Seattle by a point and a half.
Yeah. So there you go.
But Niners are great teaser leg. I think
San Francisco wins the game outright. I'm a little bit, look, I'm not going to say I'm surprised because the storylines with Baltimore and Pittsburgh are pretty good too. And could be the Aaron Rodgers retirement game and Lamar Jackson could come back from basically being unable to walk this last week or Huntley could have a second straight game. Like those storylines are oozing and they love putting Rodgers in prime time when they can. I think it's kind of stupid that Seattle and San Francisco is in the final Sunday night game. And instead we're going to get stuck with a game that's probably going to be terrible. Steelers and Ravens is going to be an awful game, Will. Like, I don't think there's any argument on that. And Niners and Seahawks, I think, will be an awesome game one way or another. I do like the Niners. I'm curious to see where that number goes. Even with how awful the Niners defense is, I do like them at home to beat the Seahawks. And then, look, how crazy is that, Will? And we talked about this with Shanahan a few weeks ago, or we talked about this on the Megapod. I don't remember where we did this conversation. But Kyle Shanahan, if the Niners win next week, he's coach of the year. There's no argument. Like, I'm sorry, there's no argument. He had no defense. He didn't have Purdy for half the year. I mean, he's had other injuries galore. Like, somehow McCaffrey's made it the whole way without getting hurt for and missing time. Like, you go 13-4 in a division and had two other 13-game winners, assuming the Rams win out and the Seahawks are already at 13-3. That is unbelievable, especially when they had the weakest team of the three, too. So, if San Francisco wins on Saturday night, it's a joke if Shanahan doesn't win Coach of the Year. And if they give it to Vrabel over him, that's even more insane to me. New England's going to end up legitimately playing a schedule that the winning percentage was barely the equivalent to a team with the seventh pick in the draft.
I want to go back to something you said, Ravens, Steelers, and it being terrible. I know what you mean. It's not going to be – I mean, this was just an offensive masterpiece, and you could say the defenses weren't good, but that was really high-level offensive football, and that's not going to be what we see most likely from Ravens, Steelers. That should be close, though, and you know this. They defer to elimination games, an early playoff game. The playoff, they advertise as the playoffs start early.
And loser out. I know. I get it. I know. I yeah. know. I know. I mean, they really, the last one that they took was a few years ago when the Niners and the Seahawks – the winner of that game gets the one seed in the NFC. The Niners wanted to make the Super Bowl that year, if you remember that. So that was, Russ was still in Seattle. So that had to have been, that had to have been the 2019 season when they did that.
Yep. And the ball almost crossed the goal line. I actually thought it did, but they couldn't overturn it. Yeah.
But no, look, real quick. Well,
last year they went Minnesota, Detroit. That was for the one seed, too.
Yeah, but remember last year, like, no other, like, winning in scenario. Like, they had a really awful schedule last year, Week 18. At least this year they had, despite all the complaining from everyone, they still have pretty good options this go around.
But I'm surprised they loaded up the Saturday where you get Carolina, Tampa.
I'm not surprised they do that. They want to have at least one, like, winning in game. And look, I know there's the scenario where if Atlanta upsets the Rams on Monday night and then Atlanta beats New Orleans on Sunday, that game on Saturday is rendered meaningless. Because then Carolina will win the division if it's a three-way tie at 8-9, which is hilarious in its own right, that the Falcons will have ended up catching everyone in that division if that situation popped up. But I'm not surprised they did it that way, because what other game, in all honesty, it would have been very interesting if the Chargers had beaten the Broncos or Chargers had beaten the Texans on Saturday. I don't know what they would have done in that scenario, because then you would have had two high-end divisions and potentially two games for one seeds on the line. Then I don't know what they would have done. They would have had some interesting scheduling decisions. But instead, the 1 p.m. slate is as bad as I've ever seen. But hey, that's what it is when you take the three best games that matter and stick them in single windows for Week 18.
What they usually try to do for Saturday, though, is they try to give you a game that means something, but they try not to give you a game that means everything. Like, somebody's playing for seeding. They try to give you something. They don't want something meaningless, but they usually don't go all the way and give you a division title game and the one seed game. I'm surprised they gave you both.
It's usually that 4:30, since they've started doing this Saturday, that 4:30 Eastern game has kind of been the Kansas City Chiefs clinch the one seed game. That's what it's because they legitimately had them against the Raiders multiple years for no reason, back-to-back years. But now, look, it'll be interesting. Again, the Chargers, it is such an interesting, I can't wait for these playoffs, because there were so many good numbers to be had this year with everyone in the AFC side, except for, and even Buffalo too. And your buddy Sammy P, who obviously you're on Bear Bets with, as well, has been all over Buffalo. You have better numbers available on every single team at one point or another this year that's in that AFC field, because Kansas City is not making, because Cincinnati flamed out. And if Baltimore loses to Pittsburgh on Sunday, I mean, legitimately, this was the discussion for Buffalo. Hey, if they don't make the Super Bowl this year when Lamar, Mahomes, and Burrow aren't in the tournament, what are we doing here? And there's still a legitimate chance that, I don't think Houston loses to Indy, but, if Houston gets upset, Buffalo can get up to the five seed, and we could end up with Buffalo and Baltimore again in round one. The possibilities are endless this year, man. That's the one good thing with the parity. We have a field this year where if Baltimore beats Pittsburgh, Will, and I have my questions about Baltimore, if Baltimore beats Pittsburgh, everybody in the AFC has a chance. I don't love the Chargers' chances because their O-line sucks, but I think everyone else has a chance, even with Houston's offensive problems. Their defense is awesome. I've been on Jacksonville for 2 months now. New England with home games. May's playing great. And Denver and with home field, like, everyone's alive. Did I forget anyone there? Yeah, Buffalo, of course. But Allen, best player in the field. And then you look at the NFC, the only, like, the NFC South champion can't win it, and Green Bay can't win it. I just don't think Green Bay is good enough at this point. But the other five teams can. So it just, you got, it's so refreshing to kind of see this in the NFL where, like we haven't seen this in, when's the last time we've had this thought? Like, it's got to be like, we kind of like got to be going back to like 2008, right? Like, kind of then.
It's a good one.
Like we ended up with Steelers and Cardinals that year. I know the Steelers are a legitimate power. They were two seed, like, but no one saw Arizona coming out of the NFC that year. But Plexico shoots himself in the leg, and the Giants fall apart. Delhomme has that 6-interception game, and you end up with chaos in that scenario.
Yeah, that was the year Brady got hurt. Giants had a good team. Giants
were better that year than the year they were. Giants were best until Plexico shot himself.
Yeah. And then got upset by, what was it, Philly.
Mediocre Philly.
Before I get to these playoff scenarios.
I'm pretty sure, if memory serves me right, is a 6-seed beat 3-seeded Minnesota with Tavares Jackson,
they did,
quarterback?
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
There you go.
Peterson fielded a kick return like on his own 1 with a foot out of bounds. They started on the 1, which is a big play in that game. Yeah, that was a disaster. Then the next year, they got Favre and should have been in the Super Bowl, but we don't need to go down
that
road. These are painful memories. Before we get to some of these playoff scenarios, just quickly on the Sunday night game, did you have a problem with the hook and ladder or anything at the end? I thought Shanahan was going to regret punting. I thought 4th and 7, you know what? What difference does it make? If the Bears started on the 10, the 15, the 40, you were cutting them up all night, you're probably going to get the 7 yards. I thought that was a mistake. He lived with it.
Yep.
Did you have a problem with anything with that or anything Ben Johnson did at the end?
No problems with Ben Johnson's thing, hook and ladder, whatever. Lenore made a great play on it. Like, how many corners are going to be like totally fooled on what just happened there? But Lenore,
I think because they were in zone, it didn't work. I think if they were a man, that thing works. But when you're
look, it's still one play from the 3-yard line. And if Caleb can get his feet set, like, that's a touchdown. Like, Jhonnae Walker was open. Like, he was open. It just couldn't get the throw there because he got nothing on it. Shanahan's punt got away with it. Horrible punt decision. It didn't matter. But look, they ended up kicking a field goal instead of scoring a touchdown, which ended up being the difference in the game. But really, the biggest play of the whole game was Caleb missing Duvernay. I mean, Duvernay is a walk-in touchdown. And I know it wasn't the easiest of throws because he was all platform and all that. And Collinsworth really, really went after Caleb a bunch tonight. And I thought Caleb played great. But that's what Caleb Williams is. Like, the easy stuff is not the easiest for him, but the hard stuff is easy. So, like, that's what he is. And but that was a hell of a game. I have no problem. And look, Ben Johnson's come a long way from those first two games, man. Because, like, I was concerned in hell with that first game of the year against Minnesota. Like, oh, my God, like, that game profiled like an Adam Gase game. Like, that was not good. And then they get mauled by Detroit in week 2. And they're like, uh-oh, like, this could be really, really bad. And what all they've done since then is win the division and get the 2-seed. And Caleb has improved tenfold. And there are a few defensive players away next year from being a Super Bowl favorite going into next year.
Yeah, and it's still going to be tough in that division because Minnesota's got a lot of talent. Green Bay and Detroit. I will say that
in this division, I think the Lions are done. I think it's over. I think they had to win or make the Super Bowl either last year or the year before. Goff's going to turn into a pumpkin, and boy, it feels like that the brains of the operation was Johnson, or Campbell's got to find the right dude to run that offense. Or that defense, for that matter. I mean, the defense has sucked for 2 years now. Yeah, I know they have all those injuries, but, I mean, the defense has been terrible 2 years running. I think your team, I think the Vikings are the most interesting team moving forward. And I know a lot of people miss this, Will, but it's critical to the operation for Minnesota next year that they lose to Green Bay next week. Because you got to get that last place schedule. Like, that is a huge difference going into next year for the Vikings if they can get that.
Yeah, and that's probably a topic for a different day. I don't know if they'll treat that game that way. The fact that they've played well here. Yeah, they'll take some solace in the fact that they go 9.
Jordan Love's not going to play again. Like, there's no way. unless if LaFleur wants Love to get reps, there's no reason for Love to play again this week.
All right, so this is what I think the bracket's going to look like in the AFC. I assume the Broncos are going to beat the Chargers. Chargers are going to rest. Bills will probably beat the Jets.
Yep.
And then let's just give it to the Ravens because they're favored. That would set up Chargers at Pats, 7-2 game. Bills at Jags, 6-3 game. Texans at Ravens, 5-4 game, with the Broncos getting a bye. Is that how you see the bracket?
Yeah. Yeah, that is. That is. I think Baltimore, I think the fact that Pittsburgh let Baltimore off the map, Matt. Baltimore going to win on Sunday. Like, I think they're going to find a way. And Pittsburgh just not having Metcalf, like, that stupid punch, it very easily is going to cost them the playoffs. Like, if they had Metcalf today, they win. Like, they absolutely win.
They have no other receivers.
Yeah, they absolutely win that game with Metcalf. Like, if he's there, they win that game. They find a way to weasel out, like, a 16-13 in overtime, Will. Like, they find a way. But they
What are those spreads? If it's Chargers, Pats, Bills, Jags, Texans, Ravens, let's go by one. Chargers at Pats, what's that line?
4, New England.
Oh, you think? I think that's high. I think maybe
3.5.
You might be right.
I don't know.
Yeah. How about Bills at Jags?
I have no idea what they're going to do because I think Jacksonville is clearly better. Clearly. And they have home field. But I don't know what they're going to do with that game. I think that's a game where they probably get the line wrong. I think Jacksonville should be. I think Jacksonville should be a full field goal in that game at least. But I would be floored.
They'll do that. I don't think they want you teasing it. I think they'll make it a pick, but I have no idea.
I think, and again, I've been all over Jacksonville for 2 months now, Will. I think Jacksonville will roll Buffalo if we get that matchup. I think they'll roll them.
What about Texans, Ravens?
They'll make Baltimore favored, but I don't think that's right.
2.5, something like that? Like not a full 3?
2?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think that's right. I don't think Baltimore will move the ball against them. And as long as Stroud avoids an awful turnover that leads directly to touchdown, Houston will win that game.
If you like San Francisco, we'll give San Francisco the 1. That would set up Packers at Bears, the 7-2.
Yep.
Seahawks at the Eagles, which, boy, that's a rough drop for the Seahawks down to the 6th seed with, 13 wins? And then the Rams, the 5 at either Carolina or Tampa. Let's just say Rams at Bucks. A playoff matchup we've seen before. So Packers at Bears, Seahawks at Eagles, Rams at Bucks. What are those lines?
Well,
Packers
I'll go with
Bears.
This.
Bears
2.5. Let's start with the last one. LA should be double digits at Tampa. They won't be, but they should be because if it's Tampa, Tampa is so beyond dead at this. I mean, Will, they got beat by Quinn Ewers today. Like come on. By the way, I think Carolina is going to beat them on Sunday.
I do too.
So let's go with Carolina. I think it's the same line that it was today with Seattle. I think it's 7.
I agree.
Seattle's got to be favored at Philly, right? Like, I don't know if that's right.
No.
Like, doesn't Seattle have to be 1.5 at Philly?
I would think the other way. I would just think Darnold on the road in that environment. Philly won the championship last year.
Yeah, but
I would think Philly by a couple points.
I will tell you, if we get that matchup, Philly is absolutely beating them because Philly will turn him over. The way the Eagles are playing, the way the Eagles defense is playing, Eagles win that game like 13-6 or something awful like that, where Philly does nothing on offense for 3 quarters, but their defense wins the game.
He won't handle that environment.
No, that is like, if we're talking about like, hey, you got to win this game in order to still be like, win the title. Like, Seattle has to win that game on Sunday in San Francisco. Like,
Saturday, yeah.
Like, yep. As good as they've been this year and as great as they've been going west to east also, like, I don't see them winning 3 road games in a row. Like, I just don't see it. So, man, and then Chicago should be a field goal, but I don't think it will be that because we just saw that, and Green Bay was favored in that game in Chicago. So, I think that probably be Chicago 1, probably. And I don't know. I think that's too light. I think the Packers are done. Like, I that defense without Parsons is a joke.
Yeah, and it was Bears. Bears by 1.5 a couple weeks ago.
It opened Green Bay favored, and then it moved to Chicago by 1.5 at close.
I think Chicago's earned some respect in the past couple weeks, even though they lost on Sunday. I think it'll be enough to move it up to like Chicago minus 2.5, but we're probably splitting hairs. How about the week 18 lines? I know this is tricky. Oh, I'll just run through them here. Any of these meaningless games where
Will,
you think the line is
off? Can you tell me the line of the Bills and the Jets?
11.5.
Not
the
enough.
Bills are favored. The Jets are not favored.
Not enough.
Do the Bills care, though?
I don't care who's playing for Buffalo. Did you watch the Jets today? Like, I know New England was playing for something, but Drake May looked like peak Tom Brady. Like, Will, I don't want this to come off as crass, but it's going to. Aaron Glenn does not deserve to be the Jets head coach next year. Like, this is the exact scenario as Gerard Mayo in New England last year, but worse. Like, Mayo, at least you, like, I thought New England played hard under Mayo last year. They just were not good, and Mayo did a lot of stupid in-game stuff. Like, you could see, all right, you know what, maybe you give him time, but you know what? Do you really want to waste Drake May's rookie contract while Vrabel's available? Like, I get why New England did it. But, look, I don't care that the Jets have, like they have guys who probably shouldn't be in the NFL playing on that defense. But, Will, they've lost 4 straight games by 23 or more. 4 straight games by 23 or more. They're not even remotely competitive. And look, I know they played good teams. Like, they played Jacksonville and New England in that stretch, but they also played New Orleans and Miami. Like, there's no reason. Like, the Jets are, assuming the Jets lose to Buffalo, and I think they're going to get clobbered. I don't care if it's Trubisky for 3 quarters. They're going to get clobbered again. They're going to end up with, at worst, the 3rd pick. And the Giants will be mixed in there with the 2nd pick in that scenario. You're going to probably end up with Dante Moore in that scenario if you're the Jets. You really want Aaron Glenn as your head coach for a rookie quarterback? No way. So, like, I know all the reporting's been that he's been safe and all that, but they have been so bad the last month. And if they go 5 straight games by losing by 20 or more, I don't know how Woody – and, look, I know Woody's brainless, but I don't know how Woody can look at this and like, yeah, that's my guy. Like, I don't know how you can do that. Like, there's ways to tank and there's ways not to tank. And the way the Jets are tanking, like, doesn't – like, the way that – like, the Tennessee Titans played a perfect tank game today, Will. They played a perfect tank game. Cam Ward played well, and they had a lead for a while, and then their defense fell apart against a team that's not that good. But New Orleans has played genuinely well the last month. Like, that's a perfect tank game. The Raiders against the Texans, that was a perfect tank game. Competitive, showing heart, showing like, all right, we want to play for our coach. But you lose to a team that you probably should have lost to by more. But I that's my thing. That's the only meaningless game that I think is worth the play. The Jets are going to get absolutely clobbered. By the way, I think Hendon Hooker is going to start the game for the Jets also. Like, that's the other thing. Like, Brady Cook.
Might as well.
Like, Brady Cook's proved he can't. He's not an NFL quarterback. Like, see what you got in Hooker and see if he's worth being on your roster next year. So, like, Hendon Hooker was on the practice, got it signed to the practice squad 2 weeks ago. So, like, I think it's Buffalo. And then the only other interesting one, like, New Orleans Atlanta is interesting because the Saints have played really well recently. But the only team that's beaten New Orleans during this stretch where they've improved is Atlanta. So like, that's an interesting one. That's the other meaningless one, even though it could be very meaningful for Tampa all of a sudden. For the games that truly have nothing on the line, and I know Buffalo technically is seeding, but let's be real. Like, I don't think they care if they're they don't care if they're the 5, 6, or 7. Oh, and also, by the way, that's going to be the last game in that building, more likely than not, too. So, like, I think Buffalo beats the Jets by at least 3 touchdowns, probably more.
So the games that matter, the one I was looking at, I was like, Philly's laying 7.5 against Washington. Is Philly, like, what's Philly's motivation?
I don't think
Philly,
I don't think Philly, like, Bears Lions a weird one, right? Like Lions were, like, that performance on Christmas was beyond terrible.
Awful.
Beyond terrible. Like, in a gotta-have-it spot against a guy who legitimately can't complete a forward pass and lose that game. But I just wonder, like, the Ben Johnson angle makes that interesting for Detroit, right? Like, based off how everything was reacted after that week two games, it doesn't seem like terms were great when he left. So I that's why that's a little bit funky to me. But then, like, for Philly, like, yeah, like, actually, yeah, it does matter. Because, like, getting Green Bay instead of Seattle is a big freaking deal. Like, that's a huge down. Like, that's a huge downgrade in opponent. And Philly's owned Green Bay the last 2 years. So that's a tough one, Will. What the, that's in 425 window, right?
I believe so.
And the Bears game's in the 425 window too, right?
I think it is. Okay. Let's see if they announced it. Yeah. I mean, they announced it. I'm just trying to. Yeah, those are in the 425
window. Yeah, so like, it's in and that's the most interesting CD angle left on the board in the NFC other than the.
But if you're Philly, do you play hard and think, you know what, Detroit's going to beat them, so let's play hard to jump the two? I just don't know. Maybe these teams, I'm sure these teams go through the scenarios.
Here's my counter to that, Will. Philadelphia's offense has been so screwed up for so long right now that don't you kind of have to play your guys to like kind of say like, all right, we, and I know Washington's a nothing burger, but like, don't you want to be going into the playoff game with your offense actually like play, like completing a pass? Like Jalen Hurts didn't complete a pass in the second half. So I think if you're Philly, you got to play as close to full bore as you can offensively. Defensively is a little bit of a question, but you're probably playing Josh Johnson. So, like, how many guys on your top flight defense do you need to shut him down, even though he played okay on Christmas?
So the big games, Ravens laying 3 to the Steelers. You like the Ravens?
Oh, boy, really? They're laying 3?
Yeah, total 42.5. I would imagine, if anything, I think.
I was hoping that was going to be like Baltimore 1.5. So, no thank you at 3. No thank you.
I think 42.5 seems a little high. Those are always, I know last one snuck over, but those are always like 20 to 13, 20 to 17 type of games.
So, I have another question for you, and I know this question is going to sound completely insane, but are we sure that a 50% Lamar Jackson is better than 100% Tyler Huntley right now?
No, we're not sure. I'm not sure. I'll go one further. I'm not sure how much better Jordan Love is than Malik Willis.
Well, that I actually 100% agree with you on. And by the way, I will tell you, whoever signs Malik Willis this offseason is getting a guy who can't play. Like, I think this whole Malik Willis thing is because LaFleur is amazing. Which, by the way, that's another angle to look at this year. There are a lot of rumblings with Packer people that if Green Bay goes 1-done in the playoffs, they're going to fire LaFleur. If they do that, I mean, you as a Viking fan should be applauding that if that happens. Like, especially in this cycle, there is no, like, Will, we talked about this a few weeks ago. The Ringer put out a list of the top 30 candidates for head coaching jobs this offseason. Number one was Robert Saleh, and number two was Mike McCarthy. Like, unless if it is a scenario where, like, Tennessee's fired their coach, the Giants have fired Dable, like, I think Arizona should fire Jonathan Gannon at this point. I think the Jets should fire Aaron Glenn because it's evident that, Gannon's run his course there. Glenn clearly is not an NFL head coach to me. But, like, the fringe decision guys, like, Steichen in Indianapolis, LaFleur in Green Bay, Bowles in Tampa's a little bit different because they collapse so badly that I think even if they win the South, I think I'd consider firing him still. But like Atlanta with Raheem Morris, like there are fringe guys who in a normal carousel, I'd say, oh yeah, you definitely should can them. Like Morris would be a slam dunk can in a normal cycle. But the candidates, this is a horrible cycle to be hiring a head coach. There's no good coordinators. Like, there's no good coordinators that will have been, who have never been head coaches. All the good coordinators have been failed head coaches before. So this is a really bad cycle to be hiring a head coach. Like, Zach Taylor and Cincy. Like, I get why Mike Brown's going to probably keep him around other than the fact that he's a cheapo. So, yeah, I know we didn't intend to get on that, but the Green Bay people are like, LaFleur's coaching for his job. It's like, what? Guy's a top 5 head coach. even though he hasn't won anything, like the only reason Green Bay's in the playoffs every single year is because of him now. I don't think Love's that good. Like, Halfley has gotten credit for that defense. The defense sucks.
As we're talking, Ravens up to 3.5 point favorite. Some spots.
Yeah, that now we're getting to the point where I would take Pittsburgh, actually.
Yeah, it's 3.5's a lot.
3.5. Like, I know they were awful about Metcalf, but man, that's a lot of points in that. And Pittsburgh always plays them well. It doesn't matter how awful Pittsburgh
yes.
is.
Yep, they play Lamar tough. There's a thing about playing Lamar too, and this is more when he's 100%. He's much easier to guard. Anyone can guard him, defend him when he's hampered, but there's a uniqueness about him where if you see him, it's almost like facing like a knuckleball pitcher or a sidearm pitcher where you need that. You need to see him. You need that familiarity, and Pittsburgh does have that.
Well, the other one I forgot to mention in that coaching diatribe, if Baltimore loses, I do think it's probably time for Harbaugh to go.
I would agree.
But with everything that has been rumbling with Baltimore, it would not shock me if they pick Harbaugh over Lamar at this point. And I don't think that's correct, even though I have my reservations of Lamar. Like, I think there's a real chance Lamar's best football is behind him at this point. Like, I think there's a real chance at that, but
is the thought they don't get along?
I think it's cool. Yeah, I mean, that article in the Baltimore Sun the other day was cool. It was a monster hit piece on Lamar. Like, I mean, where do you think that's coming from? like
I didn't see it. What was the nature of it? I mean, I saw that. I saw the headlines and the fact that it could be changed.
Preferential treatment, and the two of them don't get along, and Lamar's falling asleep in meetings, and they're moving practice times to fit Lamar's schedule. Like there's a lot of things going on there that
interesting.
Like, if any of that is true, and who knows if it is or it isn't, like, I don't know. And again, like, remember, like, when Lamar got the big contract from Baltimore, no one freaking offered him a contract other than Baltimore. So, like, the league right. treats him so bizarrely for a guy as talented as he is.
The awards, do you think? Offensive Rookie of the Year. Is it Shuck and McMillan? Can Dart? I feel like Dart needed one or two more good games. I think it's
Dart is no chance because the narrative has completely fallen against him because of the out of control. Like, the only narrative I hear with Dart now is, oh, he's out of control. Like, I don't hear that, oh, he's playing well. Like, all I hear is out of control. So if I had a vote, I would 100% vote for Tyler Shuck. I don't even think that's for debate at this point. If New Orleans went to Shuck earlier, they'd be in the playoffs right now. As ridiculous as that is.
They're both short. So, I mean, McMillan's minus 115, Shuck is plus 130, and then Henderson plus 750. Abuka and Dart are both 10-1.
All those last three are done. I would vote Shuck. If Tet wins, I have no problem with that. Tet's been really, really good this year. So, those are the only two that make sense to me. How about that? The NFC South, the king of the rookies.
I think it's still enough where Abuka, if he had a big showtime game on Saturday and scored two or three touchdowns, which, I mean, obviously he probably won't.
Do you think Tampa scored three touchdowns as a team, Will?
Probably not. Baker's another guy, man. And we got to keep this in mind for next year.
Since getting injured against the Rams has been one of the worst quarterbacks in the league.
Awful.
It's been awful.
He was regressing before that, too, even a couple weeks prior to that, because I remember it was during, I think it was the night of Game 7 of the ALCS. He was awful against the Lions. It was really just more of a flash in the pan. He was making a lot of plays with his legs early in the year. He's not a big-time quarterback.
That is a franchise that has a lot of issues moving forward, because if they miss the playoffs, they probably should fire Bowles, but they let the two guys who were the likely replacement for him go get other head coaching jobs. So I don't think it's a coincidence that that's falling apart with them losing Canales and Cohen back-to-back years.
All right, Jeff, last one before we go. Your life on the line. Who comes out of the AFC?
I'm dead? Is that the answer?
You want to what? Well, we'll take a little pressure off. A year's salary, whatever you want.
That's no good either, Will. I'm sticking to my guns that I've been telling you for 2 months. It's the Jacksonville Jaguars.
You're going Jags.
Yeah. That matchup, even though I think Jacksonville will handle Buffalo because I think they'll turn Allen over if that happens to be the matchup. But boy, that's not the matchup I love seeing in the first game of the playoffs. Like, you have to play the one quarterback in the AFC, assuming that, let's say Pittsburgh beats Baltimore, the one quarterback in the AFC that can get hot and beat everybody in the entire field on both sides. But yeah, I would go Jacksonville. You're putting me on the spot. I would go that we're getting Jacksonville. in the Super Bowl out of the AFC. Well,
we talked so much NFL. I forgot to ask you about college. Who's winning the four college games?
Yeah, go ahead. Like the spreads? Ohio State's going to win but not cover against Miami. They're going to win but not cover. Texas Tech is going to beat Oregon. And I know our friend the Bear loves the Ducks, but that kind of feels like a game you either love Texas Tech or you love Oregon. And I'm on the Texas Tech side of that. I just think that defense is so damn good. So I like Texas Tech. Indiana beats Alabama, but doesn't cover. And Georgia mauls Ole Miss.
Okay, we got it. And the winner and the college football champion is who?
I'm sticking with Texas Tech. Liked them when the bracket came out. Staying with it. See if you're going to be Texas Tech or Georgia, Will.
Yeah, I still think Miami, if they can get a decent game out of Beck, I'm still tantalized by Miami.
They can look, Miami is capable of beating anyone in the field. They are capable of beating. I was on with Gil on ANG the other day, Will, and he asked me, I'm sure he asked you this question too, of the eight remaining teams, who do you think is who is not capable of winning the title? And the only one that I don't think is capable of winning the title is Ole Miss. Even I'm Alabama with all their issues. I think Bama could get hot and Simpson could get hot and all of a sudden we look up and it's like, oh my God, Alabama's in the national title game in this awful year for them, awful last month for them. So, but yeah, I think everyone is alive except for Ole Miss in the college football playoff.
Jeff, you're the best man. Appreciate it. Where can we find you?
ESPN Vegas, my friend, Mondays and Saturdays right now are going to be my days through the, we only have one Monday left, so the end of the year and then beginning in January. So, Monday, 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 Pacific. And then Saturday is noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. So there you go.
All right, that'll do it. Rate, review, subscribe. We will be back Wednesday. See you then.